Liam, I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. I hope you guys are all right. I know it's been a little while since we last podcasted. It's been a crazy couple of weeks for me. Plus, we've had the World Cup on. Plus, I had a couple of guests lined up that then fell through. So today is a JC solo show, although I have got a clip I'm going to drop in a bit. I recently appeared on the Ranking the Beatles podcast, which was really good fun. I discussed the song Baby You're a Rich Man with them. Plus also we had quite a long chat about Oasis and about the recent ranking of Oasis and Gallagher songs that I did. So I thought I'll include a little bit of that in here. Plus we're going to talk about the news. There's been quite a bit of news recently, so we'll just give a bit of an update on that. And also, I asked earlier on for your Christmas Oasis memories and Gallagher memories. So there's some cool stuff in there. So I'll just have a read through of what you guys have said and share some of my own Oasis Christmas memories. So it's all good fun. And then we'll be back again, hopefully before Christmas itself, for an end of year roundup type episode. Although I wonder if Noel will end up. It's always around this time I sort of think, oh, I'll do an end of year roundup episode. But then, you know, Noel drops a new song on New Year's Eve. It's like, Noel, that officially counts towards this year. Anyway, there we go. So we'll do that probably around the end of the year. All right. Well, without further freddy ado, let's have a look at the news. Liam Gallagher wise, I suppose the main thing is that the gig and the Nebworth gig and the Nebworth documentary are now on Paramount Plus. So you can sign up to Paramount Plus. I think you get a 7-day free trial. And then after that, it's like £7 a month or something. So I haven't yet done yet. I was sort of saving that till I'm off over Christmas. And I think, well, I'll make the most of the 7 days. But I haven't watched that yet. Obviously, I saw the documentary at the cinema. I enjoyed it. We talked about that a couple of episodes ago. I know a few more people now have seen the documentary on the back of that. And the gig. I think I've seen a bit of criticism about the documentary. You know, I had my issues with it because of the stories and things. Are they as vital? You know, would it have been just better to just have much more of the music? I can kind of see that. And maybe if you're sitting down to watch it on TV, you're a bit more critical than if you're like excited to go to the cinema to see it. So anyway, check it out and let me know what you think. And the gig itself, from what I've seen from the clips they've released and stuff, you know, they've done a really good job, putting that out as a full gig. So I am looking forward to checking that out over Christmas. The other Liam news, it's sort of a bit out of date now because this is back, Friday, the 25th of November. Liam, it was when England were playing USA in the World Cup, which seems like months ago now. It's only a couple of weeks ago. And while he was watching and obviously not happy with England's performance, he sort of tweeted some pretty offensive stuff, what you'd call a couple of ableist slurs. He said, "Southgate, you absolute M-O-N-G. You play Foden." And then a bunch of people sort of attacked him for it. And then he did a tweet, "Fuck you, you woke S-P-A-S-T-I-C-S. So, you know, both of these sort of pretty playgroundy phrases that, you know, I'm sure we heard a lot growing up. But these days, you know, obviously, you know, these terms are unacceptable. And so he shouldn't have used them. And since then he did delete them from Twitter. And he hasn't been on Twitter since. So the last tweet as of today on what, the 14th December, is the 25th of November, talking about Phil Foden, he's our Messi. So yeah, so don't know what's going on there, what he's up to. We'll talk about Noel Gallagher news in a minute, but the other Gem news was that Gem got married. So congratulations to Gem and his wife, Christine. And it was very cool to see the photos. There's a few photos up on Instagram and stuff. And you could sort of pick out various people from various bands. Andy Bell was there, and Johnny Marr was there, and Noel. And so it was quite cool to sort of think, oh, yeah, that was fun. And they posted a little video of Gem and a couple of other guys doing like a Ruttles song, which was really cool. It's obviously he's a big Ruttles fan. And Noel has, incorporated Love Life in a Ruttles song into their cover of All You Need Is Love. So that was really nice to see. Congratulations to Gem. And then moving on to Noel news. So there's been quite a few announcements of gigs coming up for next year. Withenshaw Park in Manchester, Caldecott Castle in Monmouthshire, Crystal Palace, Audley End in Saffron Walden, Penfest in Buckinghamshire, with various support acts, with Johnny Mars on one and the Zootons. The most controversial, I suppose, is that Tom Meehan from Kasabian is supporting, and now solo, obviously, is supporting, which I thought was an interesting choice from Noel. Obviously, Kasabian supported Liam in the summer, and it's always interesting to know, well, kind of who's friends with who, and, you know, is anyone, it tends to be you've kind of got the Team Liam people and the Team Noel people, you know, like Johnny Marr is clearly friends with Noel, whereas Richard Ashcroft is clearly friends with Liam. So it's interesting you've sort of got this dynamic, and you would always sort of assume that Kasabian are mates with Liam just because they feel a bit more Liam-ish. But then Kasabian support Liam, and now Tom is supporting Noel. So it's interesting. That's just an interesting on that level. Plus, you know, if you're aware, Tom was done for assault a year ago for attacking his then fiance, now wife, Vicky. And so, yeah, I know at the time there was a lot of pressure on bands that were like going to have him supporting and things like this. And since then, he's obviously come back with a solo album. I've seen him appear in a few interviews and things like that. It's always tricky that, well, when someone does something like that, you know, how do you react? Do you support them? Do you give them another chance? Or do you completely ostracize them? It's a tough one. And obviously Noel Gallagher, having him supporting, he's clearly showing he's okay with Tom. He's giving him another chance. And I saw there was a few kind of tweets about it when it happened, a few people criticising it. But other than that, I don't think it's been a huge issue. So that would be interesting to see when we get nearer the time. All right, let's have a bit of my interview on Ranking the Beatles, shall we? So you can check out the full interview anywhere you get your podcasts. I'll put a link in the description here. And it's a really good, fun interview I had with the guys over there. A lot of Oasis chat, a lot of Beatles chat, but let's have a little bit of this.
And what I was saying is that guttural instinct, would I prefer to listen to it over that? I was sort of saying that within that kind of, and it's amazing that as humans we do this, but I was thinking like, okay, it's lyrics, melody, song structure, vibe, cultural significance, emotional resonance. They were like they're my go-to things. And I haven't scored them. You know, I'm not going, oh, well, this one's going to get a 9 for lyrics, but it's going to get a 4 for cultural significance. You know, but all of those things come into play.
Right.
And so, you know, so if you're thinking about something like Wonderwall, now, I know how I felt when I first heard Wonderwall. Yeah, and when I first heard it, I thought it was great. I didn't think it was the best on the album. I thought it was like, oh, that cool, weird, strange one before the brilliant one, mm-hmm. which was Don't Look Back in Anger, right. number 4 on the album. And so I was like, but then obviously over the years, it grew in cultural significance. Mm-hmm. But then for me personally, I never choose to listen to it because I've heard it so many times and it's sort of gone beyond that. So where do you put that then? You know, because do you say, well, it's got to be number one, right? Because if it's the Oasis song, it's had triple the amount of listens on Spotify of any other Oasis song. It's had triple the number of YouTube views. Well, it must be the best, is it? I don't think it is. I don't think lyrically, culturally, you know, the melody. And once you break it down, I think, no, I don't think it is, but you have to give it that. So there's all those factors come into play. Do you know what I mean? Is that is that sort of similar to how you thought about it?
I think so.
Wait, where did Wonderwall end up? I'm like, where is it?
I'm looking at your list, and it's...
I think it's probably about number 22,
yeah,
something
it's
like
in
that.
The 20s, I think.
What?
Yeah.
What?
It's not in my top five.
Wow. I'm shocked. It's like such a zeitgeist. Like, there's like catchphrase. Yeah. Anyway, here's Wonderwall. Like, it's like a thing.
Right.
Like, cultural significance in spades.
Yeah.
Like, wow. That's why 22.
Yeah.
Wow.
But but like to speak to like what you were saying about, you know, the idea of its cultural significance versus the way it makes you feel when you hear it, or kind of weighing those two things, you know, that's a lot of how I tend to put the weight and the value of these songs. But like for me, whether I'm listening to or whether I'm playing Don't Look Back in Anger, I feel more joy in those moments than I do when I'm playing or listening to Wonderwall, certainly. Even though Wonderwall is a much better known song. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's, what was it? I think it was the first song of the 90s to cross a billion streams on Spotify.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I would rather hear that song any day.
Don't Look Back in Anger.
Over Wonderwall. And really, you know, just to switch topics real quick, I put my top five Oasis songs down in a note a little while ago, just kind of thinking about it.
Oh, cool. So
at number five, I've got Do You Know What I Mean? And I know you have that a lot lower, but I was thinking about this when you were talking about doing the Britpop podcast, like kind of month by month. And I feel like that's got to kind of trigger in you memories of where you were during these times and what you were doing in your life and how fun, like interesting that must be. Cause like for me, I can still vividly remember the song, Do You Know What I Mean? Getting its debut on radio here in New Orleans on B97, which is now like a pop station. So the fact that they used to play that is mind blowing. They played all 7 minutes and 48 seconds, whatever it was. And it was just, I remember 3 minutes of going, when does it start? This is amazing. Like, not knowing when it was starting, but being like so enraptured by it. Yeah. And that feeling of just anticipation and going, I've never heard a song that sonically sounds like this. This is insanity. And then like rushing to buy the single as soon as it came out, and then getting Be Here Now like the day before it went on sale at the CD store I bought it from here, and feeling like the coolest kid because I got this record early that was like the biggest record of the world.
Oh, wow.
And like that song now still, I love it. I want to go like break through walls like the Kool-Aid Man when I hear it. That song is like up there for me. And then number four, flip side of the coin, Stop Crying Your Heart Out. Just breaks me to pieces every time. Something about the melody of that song and the vocal, the lyric, everything about it is perfect. I adore that song so much. Number three, Live Forever. Same situation. I never don't want to not hear Live Forever. the version that Liam did with the Foo Fighters at the Taylor Hawkins tribute just crushed me. Just, oh, I was bawling like a baby. Number two, I think Rock and Roll Star. Maybe no better mission statement for a band.
And a mission statement.
I mean, you open your debut album with this song.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. And seeing Liam do it, you know, live is just phenomenal. I never did get to see Oasis do it, but if I'm watching a live show of them and Rock and Roll Star's not on the set list, I kind of will duck out early. Because, like, I want to watch that.
All right, okay.
I want that. And then, like, you, number one, Don't Look Back in Anger. Like, there's just something about that, you know, singing that chorus is just a feeling, you know, that you get in your chest. That's just something to it.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. You know?
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. No, that's a really good, I really like that. Five. Do you know what I mean? It's exactly the same. That's probably my most visceral memory of hearing the Oasis song for the first time, because it ended up getting played on UK radio earlier than it should have been. So I think it leaked. And so they were like, right, we're playing it now. We're playing it next. And I remember that, not being prepared, running around my living room. I'm just turned 17. So this is August 97. So I'm just turned 17. And Oasis had just been, you know, the biggest thing in the world for me for a couple of years. And I was so excited to hear that song. And I just remember, like, yeah, and then thinking that the I Met My Maker and Made in Cry section's chorus, and being like, oh, that's a brilliant chorus. And then it was like, listen up, man, you don't even know you're born, which is a super cool line. And then it comes in, and I'm going, it's another chorus. It's got like two choruses. And then you're like 5 minutes in, and it's like, okay, it's going to be finishing now. And
this is goes second verse. This epic
guitar solo.
Yeah.
And you go, what is going on? So yeah, no, absolutely. That I completely agree. It is often where you were when it came out, and that's another tricky thing with ranking as well. Obviously, it's different with the Beatles because, you know, while you will have memories attached to them, you weren't, unless you're 80 years old, you're not going to have those memories of, oh well, I remember when it came out. One of the things that I think is interesting is when you hear people who were buying the Beatles records as they came out, that they always put out a record for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So songs that we now just think of as a record, I might think of it as a Royal Summery song, but actually it came out as like a Christmas single. And so, like, I Feel Fine is a Christmas song.
Yeah.
And so people would always have those, oh, Beatles putting out a new record for Christmas, you know, and you think, oh, wow, really? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so separated now from where it would have been when it was released. Yeah, I found that fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to kind of ask, you know, also because I feel like as I go through this podcast, when I sit down and kind of think of each song and start kind of formulating my notes on it, I do kind of instinctually start to recall these memories of different songs, whether, you know, I'll remember being in my bedroom, like I have like at my childhood bedroom, I'll flash back to that. Or like with, you know what I mean? I can remember my sister had graduated and was off at college, and I was in her room at the time because I would go do my homework in there and listening to the radio in that room. And I remember like the wicker and rattan furniture that was in there. And I remember the curtains in the room, and like,
oh,
it's
my gosh,
all so vivid. And so that's kind of one of the things that I find interesting about this. But what do you feel like? Is there something that you feel like you've learned about either yourself or the band and their music or the Gallaghers as you've gone through with the rankings? Cause I feel like I've learned a lot more about myself and my relationship to music and how I process it. I also feel like my appreciation and understanding of the Beatles has changed a lot in this podcast, but have you found any kind of changes like that through yourself with Oasis as you've gone through the rankings?
Well, I'm British, so I don't learn about myself. I bury those things deep. That's a very different, big difference between us over here. So
also,
yeah, so
we
don't
British?
Learn about ourselves. We don't have, we don't have these emotional journeys of discovery. We just bury it deep and drink alcohol.
Put a pint on top.
exactly. Yeah. And then have to have sort of emotional breakdowns when we're in our 50s. That's how it works. But no, it's sort of I think that with something like the, I think the big thing, and this is completely, as I mean, I'm sort of joking, but I'm not. I think it is more that it's the appreciation of things. I think when you do something like a ranking like that, you have to listen to stuff and you have to appreciate it. And pushing through like rediscovering BDI, for instance, you know, Liam's post Oasis band, that when the BDI stuff was coming out, you know, I was just wasn't interested. You know, I just was, I bought both albums, great. You know, I listened to everything, fine. But it was like, you know, if a new, any other band comes out, and you think, oh yeah, cool, what's that? Okay, yeah, I heard the album, yes, fine. And it goes away, mm-hmm. You know. And so I probably only listened to those albums a handful of times when they came out, and I did kind of dismiss them. And then something like this forces you to go back and not just sort of reappraise it, but then also see it like in the context of like the rest of the careers as well. Because I sort of, you know, you sort of, I suppose Liam's comeback has had quite a big, you know, push to it, and has got a lot of plaudits from people that BDI didn't have. But then you go back to BDI and there's certain songs in there and you think, if this had been on Liam's album, it would have been applauded, but because it's on the BDI album, it's not, mm-hmm. You know, and similarly, there's certain, like, it's really hard to sort of separate that personal view. Like anytime, you know, I do sort of wonder if some of those songs that have come out, like if Live Forever, for instance, had been on their Oasis seventh album, would it be heralded as like the great song? Or, but it couldn't have been because there'd already been, you know, 10 years under the bridge by the time you got there. You see what I mean? Things are so they have to come out when they come out. Does that make sense?
It does. And I find that really, that's interesting because you can look at like the Beatles' career and go from, you know, 64 when the whole globe is gripped with Beatlemania and take any song from 64, 65 and then put it against something like a Hey Jude or a Let It Be or something, which are these massive classics, great songs that are, you know, somewhat latter career for the Beatles. Now, granted, latter career is they're 28, 29, and 30. Like, they're not, you know, almost 40 or 50. But yeah, I think that's interesting because I feel like bands don't have those careers now where you're still putting out massive culturally relevant, pop chart relevant songs that far into your career now. Nine years into the career, you're kind of maybe not spinning wheels in the oldies circuit, but you're certainly not the chart force you were when you first blew up, I think.
No. Yeah. I mean, that's what happened with Oasis. They just became another band, you know, they really did. And so, you know, they were no longer, you know, it would always be a big deal when they released a new album or a new single, and it would typically go to number one in the UK. I know in America, it was just, they were just gone, you know, and then it was only the real diehards that were still buying and listening and seeing them live. Whereas over here, yeah, they were still a massive concern, but it was more like, I don't know, like Duran Duran or one of those bands that were like, oh yeah, yeah, they had hits in the 80s and oh, they're still going. Yeah, they're still going, you know, whereas Oasis, it was another level because they would still get to number one, you know, and they would still play stadiums. You know, that was the big difference, I think, with them, is they always had that following that they could play stadiums, but they weren't going to be competing for the Brit Awards. They weren't going to be at the MTV Awards. They were, you know, it was like they're in this position now.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, and that was definitely where they found themselves. And you know, and that's partly because, you know, the time had come and changed and music had changed, and they hadn't really changed. You know, they just kept doing what they were doing throughout the 2000s. It's a tough one, I suppose. It's and also, I mean, the quality did drop. Like most people do appreciate that the first two albums are the best, or some people love Be Here Now like I do as well. But then after that, you know, it's a sort of, it's never going to have that same sort of thing. And while some bands or some artists do have like a late career resurgence, or you know, or they'll come out with like a special record or something. You know, it's sort of, it is rare. You know, normally most people get their good shit done within the first 2 or 3 years, to be fair.
Yeah.
Cool. Hope you guys enjoyed that. As I said, do go over and check out the full episode and give Ranking the Beatles a follow on Twitter and Instagram and stuff, because they're good guys and they do, good, really, really good fun. Interesting full breakdowns of those Beatles songs, and so yeah, really good stuff. Make sure you go and check it out. All right, as I said, we are coming up to Christmas, and as I record this, it's the 14th of December, so if you haven't done your shopping and stuff, you probably should get on with that, because it's really creeping up this year. But let's have a look at your guys' responses to your favorite Christmas memory, shall we? All right, so Paul at Purdy Bear says, when Radio 1 replayed the Nebworth gig over the Christmas period, I recorded it on a tape for the second time just in case they played the two new songs which were missing from the original broadcast. I don't remember that one, but yeah, obviously I remember having the original Nebworth tape, but yeah, apparently they replayed it over Christmas. Very cool. This was probably the winner. This is amazing. Dr. Stuart Flanagan on Twitter says, winning a competition on the Radio 1 evening session to see Oasis play an intimate Maida Vale Studios gig on 15th of December 1994. My second Oasis gig and one of their very best. Six songs, including Noel premiering Talk Tonight, and Liam hung out with us on the studio balcony. Amazing. So, and he's included a photo there. So yeah, I think you win, Dr. Stuart. Absolutely amazing. God, imagine being there that night, winning that competition. How cool would that have been? Sleeping on a plane, you know you can't complain. You took your last chance. Once again, I landed, stranded. I hardly even knew your name. I another one from Paul at Purdy Bear, seeing them in Cardiff on the Be Here Now tour in December 97 and then watching them on the TV playing the G-Mix gig a few days after. Yeah, absolutely. What a great tour that was. I saw them twice on that tour, Wembley and Newcastle, both amazing shows. Andy Middleton, top one for me has to be Christmas 1994 when Whatever was the closing song at an indie club night at Newcastle Riverside. And I was on my mate's shoulders, singing my lungs out, full of brown ale. Well, you're not doing the stereotype of people from Newcastle very good there, mate. But yeah, that sounds fantastic. Yeah, Whatever as a closing song at an indie night would be great. It's sort of become overshadowed over the years, I suppose, because of the success of like Wonderwall, Don't Look Back in Anger and stuff. But yeah, Whatever, what a great song. And it'd be a fantastic sort of closing, arms around your mate song. Love it. Dee Dee says, down by the River Thames between pandemic and lockdown. This was the most amazing feeling, excitement of 2020. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was brilliant. I forget what comes out when, but yeah, absolutely. That came out there. Brilliant stuff. Watching that live. That was fun though. And a bit weird, wasn't it? Getting the setup from that weird sort of streaming platform that you had to get it on. They still haven't released it. Come on, guys, put your finger out, release it. We want to see it. Bubblegum, the Back to Mine Radio 1 Christmas special where Noel invited them into Supernova Heights and subsequently kicked them out. It was my first introduction to It's All Too Much Beatles and Darling Be Home Soon, Loving Spoonful. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I really like that All Back to Mine series. And yeah, Darling Be Home Soon was a track I learnt because of that. Quite a few songs from that session. That Noel picked out became sort of regulars for me. So yeah, absolutely love those. Just intimate, very cool, chilled out, very relaxed. Yeah, brilliant stuff.
Welcome, my friend, to Supernova Heights. How you doing?
Yeah, very well, sir.
And I hope you're up for having the heights of supernova behaviour. Yeah, take your seat. This is the boudoir.
Very nice as well.
Would you like a drink?
Oh, go on, twist me on. Is this where you play the music?
Now, I don't know what you think, right?
Oh, all right.
I just play this tune, right, and I always remember this tune being in like my subconscious, but I didn't know what it was called and didn't know it was by. And then for the next 2 years, I was going around saying to people, you know that tune? Yeah. And I'm going, what tune? And I'm going, and you're like, you start like da-da-da-ing it to people. Da-da-da-da. And I was going, like, and you don't even know the lyrics. You're just going, all you know is what we need. You go, what we need is... You know the one? Everyone goes, like, no. Until somebody, I can't remember where it was, somebody went, what? You mean Blue Mink? Like, melting pot. Oh, yeah, I've got a CD. Would you like to borrow it? And it says, that there's a line in it which says, we got the Beatles and the sun goes. And the geezer at the band goes, it's true. It's true. Well, I'm going to cover this one day.
This is one.
Definitely.
Take a pinch of white man. Wrap it up in black skin.
Owen Ling. I watched Noel at FIB in 2015. It confirmed why I admired his music and why he was better off without Liam. I don't think he's better off without Liam, Mr. Ling, but that's fine. Matt at M4 Tet, receiving my first Oasis Christmas card, the one with Noel sat on a giant teddy bear. I still have it out each Christmas. Yeah, that's fantastic. If you were part of the Oasis fan club, you got Christmas cards. I think that's a micro dot thing. And absolutely brilliant. They should have kept that going all the way through to the end, really. They should still do it now. It's brilliant, isn't it? Speaking of Christmas cards, I've got some, not Christmas cards, but I've got another Patreon gift to send out. So I need to get that done. I'll try and get that done before Christmas. Connor Clancy, Getting There and Then, and The Morning Glory, and Definitely Maybe, Guitar Tab Books. I think it was the same Christmas, probably 96. Yeah, that's fantastic. I don't remember when I got Live by the Sea and There and Then. Yes, that may well have been a Christmas thing. And yeah, just because back in the day, you know, it was easier to buy for people, especially teenagers. You could ask for CDs and DVDs, or not DVDs, VHS. Whereas now it's like, well, I've got Spotify and I've got bloody every streaming platform. There's no point in getting a DVD or a VHS. There's no point, but anyway, unless you're getting... Are they doing VHSs again? I know you can get cassette tapes now, which seems a bit stupid, but anyway, there you go. WJM, Will Martin, says, two Slade references spring to mind. One, Merry Christmas, everybody, being recorded for the Royal Family Show Christmas special. Yes, that was cool, wasn't it? So instead of the normal Half the World Away, they've got the Merry Christmas, everybody... Noel over the closing credits, which was brilliant. And for New Year's, live on Jules Holland, New Year's Eve 1995, and Oasis minus Liam doing an epic cover of Come On Feel the Noise. Yeah, that's an absolutely fantastic one. It's a shame we didn't have Liam on that one, but yeah, that's great. That's that special. I really like that. And Noel's wearing the white top and he hammers out Come On Feel the Noise. It's absolutely fantastic. Matt Field says, getting Live by the Sea on VHS on Christmas morning was a joy. Must have watched it three times. Absolutely fantastic. Imagine getting that as a kid. Oh, brilliant. Stick it on. Unbelievable. Mark Nolden, the Oasis Christmas card arriving in the post in the early years. Yes, Mark, love it. Dee Dee again, back to the beginning, December 94, when Whatever was released. From there, running out after Christmas Day with my money to buy the single and coming home with Definitely Maybe. The single came as a bonus. Absolutely. Love that. Yeah, what a great Christmas song. I suppose that was my first Oasis Christmas, really. Because that was the first... I'd got into them in late 94. And so, yeah, Whatever coming out was like a really big deal. And getting that on single and the B-sides. And yeah, and then I think people talk about it in a minute, but yeah, the Jules Holland 1994, when they do whatever and they've got the strings and stuff, is absolutely fantastic. I love that. Stephen at Chunky Barbell, my parents got me an Epiphone Supernova for Christmas. Didn't have an amp to play it through, though. Wow, what brilliant parents you've got, Stephen. Amazing. That's better than a pair of socks, isn't it? Caroline Hanlon says, Noel's Christmas message video. So, yes, this was from, what, a year or so ago? I'll drop that in here.
I fucking hate it with a passion. The jingles. Let me pause there by saying, when John Lewis put my tune in and had Last Christmas, I loved that.
You're half the world away.
At that particular point, I thought, Christmas, you know what? I'm going to give Christmas a second chance here. You know what I mean? I gave it a second chance. It was fucking shit. Too much food, too much We Are the World.
We are the children.
The jumpers, the TV presenters, the shit adverts, the fucking weather, disappointed children's faces in my house when they go, but I asked for a spider. And you're like, no, but it's illegal to bring the fucking spiders into this country. But what about the African tree frog I asked for? That's in a tree in Africa. We're in fucking Maida Vale. How about a Maida Vale garden frog that'll go down the end of the garden and get you? No, but that's not got the big red eyes. It's like, all right, life's a bitch. Fucking ask Father Christmas. New Year, on the other hand, is an amazing thing. Out with the old and in with the new. Christmas is shit. It's so boring. It's unbelievable. And those little sausages. And they've got the stupidest name. What are they called? Chipolatas. That sounds like a circus troupe from the fucking 50s, doesn't it? Dog shit. My daughter, who's 17, I've turned her against Christmas. She's on my side now. She hates it too. So I've only got the two lads to go. And then we'll all turn on Sarah. Get rid of her.
What present would you be giving Liam this year?
What I gave him every year is the benefit of my genius. Which he seems to be cashing in on. So, you know, Merry fucking Christmas. We are not the fucking world. We are not the children. Christmas is for divs.
Stee at Stee83 says, getting There and Then and That 100% unofficial doc on VHS One Christmas as a kid. Spending most of the post-Christmas holidays reading Paul's book after getting that as a present. Cardiff Millennium Stadium 2005, 10th of December, so Christmas at a push. Yeah, I'll give you that. And the Class 96 and 97 mailing list Christmas cards. Yeah, absolutely. Sean Davey said, whatever on CD. Yep. Richard Nunney, the end of this early bootleg has a decent live Christmas set from 1994, and it is the Oasis A Year in the Life bootleg. Fernando Cercinelli, Oasis in Sao Paulo, 1998. My friend shouted, some might say, requesting the song. Noel looked to him, pointed, waved his finger to say no, and then told him to settle down. That's fantastic. Adam Boffin, Oasis Wrapping Paper Free with NME, Christmas edition, 1996. Yes. And didn't they have Oasis on one side and then maybe just general Britpop on the other side? I can't remember exactly, but yeah, definitely got that. That was brilliant. Andy Adams, who is at AJA321, seeing Oasis in December 2002 at the Brighton Centre and Noel getting interrupted during his acoustic set and telling the crowd he hopes they freeze to death on the way home. Okay. I don't remember that one. I'll see if I can dig that one out. Morph at MAF Jones 5 says, reckon Oasis at Millennium Stadium on 10th of December. Close enough for a Christmas link with Foo Fighters also on the bill was pretty special. And Chris Tregoning replied to that. Razorlight also supporting was a great, great gig. Steve at Steel 1867, recording the Lamac Noel interview on Christmas Day. Made a cassette cover to go on it too. Sat in my room on my own listening to that for a while until I got told to come back downstairs and join everyone. If I'm recording it, then I don't need to listen to it right now. Yeah, absolutely. I love that idea. Steve, come on, come down for Christmas. No, I'm listening to Noel Gallagher. And then he also said, getting There and Then on VHS, two full playthroughs in the living room before the Queen's speech and dinner. That's fantastic, isn't it? Love that. It did come out at Christmas. I wonder if I got it at Christmas. I can't remember. First year there'll be no Queen's speech this year, so that's once again. I won't be watching it again this year because it's not happening, like unlike in previous years. 90s football memories. For me, it was getting the Wonderwall single for Christmas 1995. Obviously, I'd heard Wonderwall 1 million times back then, but it was the first time I'd heard The Master Plan and Round Our Way, two tracks I played over and over at Christmas. Christmas 95 was also the birth of my Oasis haircut. Absolutely fantastic. Always great to make that step and get the Oasis haircut. Brilliant stuff. And yeah, 90s football memories. Absolutely fantastic account. Make sure you give it a follow. Kieran Murtar, that time they sent us Christmas cards. Wonder what ever happened to those boys. Yeah, love it. Brilliant Christmas cards. Love those. Graham Moore, last day of school before Christmas in English. No work, just class and teacher yapping with Oasis signing Christmas songs playing on the CD player. Great stuff. Love that. Gary at gmcfee88, Scorpio Rising getting to 14 in the Christmas charts. Quite festive lyrics when you look back at it. Not really. No, but yes, I didn't realise that was actually in the Christmas charts. Yeah, it would have been. Absolutely. Paul Owens, P.R. Owens, 1979, getting the Whatever EP for Christmas, knowing that my mam had sung it to the store assistant in HMV as she didn't know the name. Yeah, they'd probably get it from that, I suppose. God, pre-internet, where you couldn't actually look things up. You had to, like, sing it and just hope they'd figure it out. Lee Cardoso, their appearance in the beginning of their career performing Whatever. And I checked, was it the Jules Holland 94? And yes, it was. So yeah, I absolutely love this. This is a brilliant performance. I love the fact that Liam's like wearing a suit. Well, they're all wearing suits, aren't they? But yeah, I just think Liam's hair is fantastic. It's just, if you think about them at that point in their career as well, to be doing that, it's just great. It's just so magical. It's a brilliant performance with all the strings and everything. It's fantastic. Stephen Ayling says, taping the White Room on Hogmanay, thinking that's what the band were doing at the Bells. Playing Round Our Way after Dread Zone had been on and Liam sweating big style whilst eyeing up one of the sexy podium dancers. Yeah, White Room, that White Room performance, that was, it was actually 22nd of December. So there you go. Definitely a Christmas one. I don't remember that being on at Christmas, but yeah, I mean, that was a massive one for me. That was a recorded off the telly on my Oasis tape and got loads of rewatches, so absolutely love that one. The birds are singing. Round our way, the sun shines bright. Round our way, the birds sing for you. They say, already know you. Yeah, they already know you. And I think that will do it. So, yeah, absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, I'll just add to that. So I saw them at Wembley Arena in 1997. That would have been either the 17th or 18th of December. So, yeah, there's a big Christmas memory there. Yeah, 94, definitely the Jules Holland one. Yeah. And then you've got, 95, the Jules Holland and the White Room. Absolutely. 97, that. Going to see them at Wembley Arena. Love that. The only thing I can really remember about it, to be honest, is the fact that Supergrass supported, and while Supergrass were playing, Liam was at the side of the stage.
and loads of people trying Liam, and you think, come on guys, bloody Supergrass are playing here. So yeah, that was really cool. And then obviously, yeah, having the Merry Christmas everybody, no one's really mentioned that, but that's always a regular sort of any Christmas playlists or whatever. I'm always, when I'm listening to Christmas music, that's always on the playlist. So yeah, love that.
Does your granny always tell you that the old songs are the best? She'd be up and rock and rolling with the rest. So here it is, Merry Christmas. Everybody's having fun. Look to the future now. It's only
And then in the last few years, I mean, the All You're Dreaming Of, when that came out, that was a really big one for me. Absolutely loved that. Wandering Star, I loved as well. That was also had a, wasn't a full-on Christmas single, but definitely had a sort of a Christmas vibe to it. And just looking back, I'm using the Oasis Timeline website here. So this is oasis-timeline.com, which is a really good little website that I've used. I've used quite a few times, and I sort of helped them out on a couple of bits putting this timeline together. So that's a definitely good one to check out. But just some events that happened in and around Christmas. So December 22nd, 1993, Oasis record their first Radio 1 session at Maida Vale. For the evening session with Joe Wiley and Steve Lamacq. 1995, during the Creation Records Christmas party at the Halcyon Hotel, Holland Park, Alan McGee presented Noel Gallagher with the chocolate brown vintage Rolls Royce. The other band members got some gifts as well. A toy Mini Cooper along with a check to buy a real one for Alan White, a Rolex watch and a piano for Bonehead, a Rolex watch and a gym membership for Gwigsy, and a Rolex watch and a copy of the Gibson guitar played by John Lennon for Liam. On the 21st of December in 1988, Noel Gallagher auditioned to be the singer of the In Spiral Carpets. He didn't get the job, but obviously it did lead to him joining the band's road crew. December 20th, Oasis played what would become their last concert in North America at the GMU Patriot Center in Fairfax, Virginia in 2008. The band would break up 8 months later before the completion of their world tour in support of Dig Out Your Soul. December 19th, Oasis recorded what would become their debut single, Supersonic, at the Pink Museum in Liverpool in 1993. And also December 19th in 1995, after being asked by Johnny Depp, Oasis performed a surprise gig at the Viper Room in Los Angeles. The gig is announced on K-Rock at 3 p.m. that day, and Oasis had to be reminded that they agreed to play. December the 18th in 1994, Oasis released Whatever. So yeah, so Oasis and Christmas and sort of December has always been a sort of quite a big month for them, to be honest. There has been quite a lot of stuff in and around December. And yeah, and then, like I said, the All Back to Mine as well that Noel did, that was brilliant. I really enjoyed that, having that was always a really good listen. And then also finding out those songs that Noel had said were his favorites, and just listening to them and learning them was really, really exciting.
Hello,
I'll tell you what I'm going to put on. I'm going to put on Darling, Be Home Soon.
Noel told us a story about you playing Mike Flowers down the phone to him saying you didn't write it.
Yeah. And I thought he had. Chris Evans got me, definitely.
It's nice to have faith.
In a relationship.
Yeah, isn't it? It's nice to have faith in your husband. Isn't it? Don't you think?
I wrote this for you, darling. Hey, Jude.
What? Have you heard that story as well?
No, go on.
I didn't actually write Hey, Jude. No, but I did. I first heard this track when Paul Weller made me a tape which had a lot of songs on that I hadn't heard before, but this one, Darling Be Home Soon by The Loving Spoonful, which I hadn't actually heard before, and it's another one. I mean, I know I've said this for every track I've played tonight, I'm going to cover that. But this is another one that I'm actually going to cover.
Oh, one other thing I didn't say in the news. Noel did do an appearance on Kerris Matthews' BBC show First and Last, where he told some stories, talked about Supersonic and talked about Pretty Boy. But to be honest, it was kind of the similar stories that we've heard before. So it was nothing massively exciting. But anyway, that will do us for today. Thank you very much for listening to the Oasis podcast. And most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly, greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I post additional bonus episodes, including a recent episode I did. I wasn't sure what to call it. It's basically me just talking while I'm out walking the dog. And I couldn't think of what to call it. And then someone suggested a Wonder Walk. So that's it. So they are now Wonder Walk episodes when I record those. You can go and check that out. There's also access to the Discord. So the Discord is a really, really cool little place for patrons to hang out and have quite good chat and banter over there. There's been quite a lot of chat over the World Cup. A bit of a World Cup sweepstake. So, yeah, going into the final, I think it's Dan Best's France versus Chris Tuffin, Argentina. So, yeah, very exciting. And, Imran Khan had Morocco, Khan might say, who was quite surprised to see Morocco go all the way to the semis, as was Katie Georgiou, who got Croatia. So for those to get to the semis was pretty amazing. But there you go. So yeah, the Discord's a lot of fun. So if you are a patron and you're not part of the Discord, then just drop me a message and I'll drop you a link to get that set up. Or if you'd like to become a patron, head to patreon.com/oasispod. Do give us a follow on social media at Oasis Podcast on Twitter and Oasis Pod on Instagram. And always feel free to drop me an email, oasispod@gmail.com. If you have any thoughts or you want to drop me an audio message with your favourite Oasis Christmas memories or whatever, then do feel free to do so. And yeah, I think that will about do it. So as ever, stay in touch, stay engaged and stay young.
Merry fucking Christmas. We are not the fucking world. We are not the children. Christmas is for divs.